listen. Okay, so we're going to finish Shin Ayin Hay first, and then do Shin Ayin Vav mostly today. In Shin Ayin Hay Siv Zayin, we have the Psak of the Tur, the Iter, that raised the following issue. We know the halacha is that, well, let's take one step back. Presumably, in order to commence Avelos, you have to know that the person died. What level of certainty is necessary? So, presumably, one would follow Rov, like we generally do in halacha. The question arises with respect to a tragic situation where there is a married woman whose husband likely died. So, Chazal made certain stringencies, there are dinim derabanan in this case, that where we are concerned that even though it certainly seems like a person has died, we have to be choshesh that he might still be alive, so as to be absolutely certain that his wife not remarry, and it turns out that he was alive. And the most famous example of this is the takana of mayim she'en lahem sof. What's the idea of mayim she'en lahem sof? The idea of mayim she'en lahem sof is the following. Let's say someone drowns. He falls off of a boat or something like that. So, if it's mayim she'esh lahem sof, mayim she'esh lahem sof means we see the end of the water. Let's say it's a smaller area of body of water. It doesn't have to be that small. So, the Kinneret, right? So somebody falls off a boat and we obviously don't find him, we don't find a body, we look all over and we can assume he's dead. Why? Because if he was actually alive, so then we would have found him. However, in the case of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, where you can't see the end of the water, it doesn't literally mean there's no end to the water. All bodies of water have an end to them, but it means that you can't see it. So then Chazal were concerned that maybe this guy's actually alive. And the Gemara has stories about there was this person and he fell into Mayim She'en Lahem Sof and they assumed he was dead, and then it turned out he, I don't know, went under this cave in the water and this and that. All the Gemara's at the end of Yevamos. So that is the Chumra Midirabanan, that were Machmir, that this is more the traditional case of Eguna. Nowadays, when people talk about agunos, they usually talk about recalcitrant husbands, but the more classical case of agunos are cases where we suspect that the husband is dead, but we can't prove it with sufficient definitiveness so as to allow the wife to remarry. So the Iter asks about the following situation. You have a case where it would seem, most likely this guy's dead. And seemingly, with respect to Hilchos Avelos, we would be sufficiently confident that he's dead so as to commence Avelos. But just imagine what's going to happen. We're going to tell the kids, yeah, you should say Kaddish for your father, you should sit Shiva, and tell his wife that as well, but say, unfortunately, you can't remarry because your husband might still be alive. So this could lead to a tremendous problem, because she's going to get confused, she's going to think that he really is dead, and therefore the Iter said that in this case we won't allow Avelos. In other words, since because of Chashash that he's alive, we're not going to allow his wife to remarry, so therefore we also in this case can't allow for Avelos. And the question here is, and this is paskened in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin, and the question is this dafka b'makom igun, or is this now going to be in all cases? Meaning to say, every single, we have now, perhaps because of this concern, changed our standard of certainty of death such that the standard is going to be, we have to be so certain that he's dead that we would allow his wife to remarry, even if we're talking about a case where there is no wife. It's a single man who died, or a woman who died, or whatever it is. Do we go ahead and say, only b'makom igun, we're going to change the standard, or in all cases of avelos? Now the pashtus in the Bala Itter is that it's shayach in every case. Why? Because the Bala Itter asks, after saying his psak, says, aye, but it says in Evel Rabasi, and he asks, you know, it says not that way, and it says, oh, it talks about avelos for a person who drowned, right? In other words, the kasha is, isn't that a kasha on me? I just said that if somebody drowns, you can't commence avelos, but it says in Evel Rabasi, if somebody drowns, you can commence avelos. And he says, oh, that's talking about Mayim Shiesh Lahem Sof. Now, he didn't just answer, oh, that's talking about a case, Shelo B'Makom Igun, right? That's talking about a case where a woman dies. That's talking about a case where a single man dies. He didn't give that answer. It sounds like, because of the concern of the Aguna situation, he was Machmir across the board. You could get out of the Diyak, but that's the Pashtus in the Itter, and it's certainly the Pashtus in the Mechaber, because the Mechaber, when he paskins this halacha in Siv Zayin, is not Mechalik. He writes every time, he seems to write in all cases, Mayim Shiyesh Lahem Sof. Right? So the Lashon HaMechaber seems pretty clear that this takana, or this din of the Itter, is said with respect to all cases of Avelos. So no matter what, somebody dies, and you can't find the body, they're drowned, for example, you can't find the body, so we only will commence Avelos in Mayim Shiyesh Lahem Sof, not Mayim Shein Lahem Sof. However, if you looked at the Achronim and the Pesachei Tshuva and all of the Achronim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that they're mefalpel b'zeh. The Rabbi Kiviger, for example, quotes those who say that, like we suggested, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, that it's a low plug, b'chol inyan ein misavlim, but others disagree. So the question is, what room is there for Safek? If, after all, there seems to be quite a mefurish diuk in the Lashon HaMechaber. The Mechaber sounds like, in all cases, in all cases of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, we wouldn't be Misavel. So, presumably it comes from the fact that there's actually a shtickle stira in the Mechaber himself. Why? Because if you look in Simon Shin Lamed Tesef Beis, we actually discussed this last week, at the beginning of the week, the Mechaber says that if you meet somebody and they tell you that you have a close relative who's a goseis. So, who's a goseis 3 days ago. 3 days ago I saw this relative of yours and he was a goseis. So then you commence avelos. So, b'chiya gavna, presumably, we wouldn't be matir his wife, based off of that level of certainty. Again, I'm not a baki in Eben Ha'ezer and these halachos are quite complex, but that seems to be what the Achronim are taking for granted here. And therefore, there's a stira. So, that might lead us to indicate that our Gemara is only talking about a case of a married man who dies, and Shin Lamed Tes is talking about a situation where it's not a married man. One way or the other, if you look at the... Agav, that's not so pashit anyway, because the makor for that halacha of starting avelos after 3 days is from a rush, and the rush is talking about a married woman. So, anyway, this whole discussion is a very, very big dion in the Achronim. The Shvus Yaakov, for example, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, says it can't be that this halacha is set across the board, like we spoke in Medayik from the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, because it says Mefurish and Meseches Ksubos that they were misavel al pi umdina, that they were misavel, whatever the case was over there, that there was a certain indication that the fellow died and they started avelos, and that we would never be matir and ashes ish with that type of umdina. And therefore, the Shvus Yaakov tried to bring a raya from there, that it's only b'makom igun this din is said. Now, Agam, I thought the raya was very interesting, because I would have just said, very simply, that this din of the Itter is not Medina de Gemara, right? There's no makor for this in Shas. It's a takana. It's a takana that the Bala Itter, he quotes it from the Tshuvas HaRif, not so clear whether the Rif said it, but it's a takana, maybe a very early takana, but post-Talmudic, that they were Misakein Misham Takala. But interestingly enough, the Achronim don't say this. And therefore, many achronim conclude that this halacha is only said for an isha nesua. And therefore, they start making chilukim, maybe even if you can't bring avelos, because that's muchach, but you could tell the kids they could start davening for the amud, and all sorts of chilukim. And another reason to be mekel is that, meaning to say, to be mekel to start avelos, against maybe the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, is that the Pischei Tshuva quotes at the very end, even though we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, many Rishonim disagreed with the Yetur, including Rabbeinu Shimshon, the Ravan, Rav Mermi Rottenberg, the Tur, the Mardechai, and therefore, even though we're going to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to maybe minimize the Shulchan Aruch to cases where it would be Makom Igun. I know, I think after 9/11, this was a Shaila. Baruch Hashem, after 9/11, Rabbi Willig and his Beis Din was able to be Matir all the Agunos. There were many Agunos. But it took a long time. And so we already talked about when did they start Avelos. So that was when Rudy Giuliani stopped the search. At that point, I think, if I recall, they hadn't yet been Matir all the Agunos. It took a while. They, Mamish, did crazy things to figure these things out. They'd testimony and this and that. Somebody, you know, they would look at their records for the Metro card they used and to prove that they were where they were and when they were and all sorts of things. In the end, it was an incredible thing that they were able to be Matir. It was a tremendous ASIC. But anyway, but in cases where you had other people, in case Shaloba Makom Igun, they began Avelos when Nisyashu Milakovro, but Makom Igun, they waited until they were Matir, the Aguna, and then they, the family commenced Avelos. I think that's what they did.
So no matter what, you still have the Kasha from why the Shulchan Aruch seems like the Rush, or the Rush doesn't hold of this even Makom Igun.
Yeah, so they're different. Maybe the Rush didn't. I am Shaman Yachronim, what they say about this. Yeah?
So we're assuming that when the Makaber says,
I'm not assuming anything. I'm just telling you what the poskim say.
Yeah.
What the poskim say is, many poskim say that even though the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like this is true across the board, in actuality, many achronim say it's only b'makom igun, this halacha.
Correct. I'm just wondering though, when the Mechaber says, yayshim lakotro, that's, we're equating that with what?
We know Nisyashim Alakovro means practically when they gave up the search. Right? Now, strictly speaking, right, like we had that story, the Taz quotes it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it later on about the God, you know, when they were looking and looking and looking. So, Avelos begins when they give up the search. Right? There sounds like there's, to some degree, there's discretion. But when they give up the search, so how do they know they're dead if they gave up the search? Well, that would be enough to start Avelos, seemingly, right?
That's the standard. So the Mechaber, though, again, when he says, he's only discussing to you Mayim She'Eimlam, so...
Right, that's his point, because he says, Mayim She'Eimlam, so if you couldn't commence Avelos, right? And that's based off of the din of the Baal HaItter. So we asked, what do you mean? The Baal HaItter, that shows you that the Baal HaItter is shaykh across the board, because he doesn't say over here we're dafka talking about Makom Igun. But then we said that many achronim say, no, not true. This halacha, this formulation Mechaber, is only said by Makom Igun. Even though the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch simply certainly does not sound that way.
The simple pshat, no one said this, but I would think the simple pshat would be to say this halacha is talking about across the board. And the Mechaber over here is talking about in Shemamit 10, talking about ego. That's what the Russian is talking about.
But the opposite would be true then, because then we should have a higher standard. Doesn't make sense to apply to be make a b'makom igun in that case. In other words, goses, the rove that goses him die within 3 days would not be sufficiently powerful to be matir neshesish. That's what a number of the achronim assume. Now you have to figure out the rush, but it's not really a kasha in the rush, because it could be that the rush learned like the Marami Rottenberg and the Tur, who totally disagreed with the Baal HaItter, and they held that no, Avelos l'chod and Heter l'Bailu l'chod, right? So the kasha is not with it. There's no kasha in the Rush and the Tur. It's only a kasha within the Shulchan Aruch, because he's so same like the Rush over there, and here he's so same like the Baal HaItter. The Rush and Baal HaItter disagreed with each other. So the question is, how did the Mechaber paskin?
Also, when Rebbe said before, he started off saying, go by it based on Rove. Mm-hmm. So, how do we know to apply Rove here?
What other standard would you apply?
I mean, no one's discussing this.
The stomach, you follow Rove. And in all halacha, unless there's a reason not to, you follow Rove.
So, there's a little off topic, I guess.
Okay, good. So we'll stay on topic. Yeah? Any other questions? Off-topic questions we'll do on the car ride home. Fine. There's a whole din over here, you know, when the Shulchan Aruch says that if you find out that if a person just pass me the Shulchan Aruch. Thank you. So we have here V'im Nimtza. So again, we're still in Tziv Zion. So somebody, they were in the Siyashim Lekovro, and therefore they commenced Avelos. And then a month later, they found the body. So what's the halacha? So in that case, they don't have avelos a second time. They should be misavel for one day, the children, because it's no worse than likud atzamos aviv. Let's say the kid isn't there, and then they find out the next day. So then, as soon as I hear from them, I'll let you know, okay? Yeah, I'll call you later. Okay, now I'm giving shira, and I'll tell you what's going on. Bye-bye. Sorry. My daughter's home alone, so a few calls I just need to pick up. Okay, so yeah, so what's the pshat? So it's no worse than likud atzamos. So therefore, again, if you find out afterwards, in other words, a son finds out last week his father, the body was found and was buried, so then he doesn't have to do anything today. Fine. So the Shach really has two questions in the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, why does he say Dafka Vino? If you look in Siman Tuf Gimel by Likud Atzamos, it's all Krovim. And second of all, why is it Dafka if he's there, even if he's not, there's this, you know, this one day Avelos. So that's the problem with the Shach. And the Shach basically says, I'm sorry?
Which halacha do you repeat?
Siv Zion.
Okay, still?
Yeah, still Siv Zion. I'll tell you when we get off Siv Zion. Still Siv Zion, right? So the Shach says, yeah, it's not true. Meaning to say, of course it's Lav Dafka Beno, against the Taz. And it's also Lav Dafka if they're there. Basically, this is Logar from Likud Atzamos. Just like Likud Atzamos, there is this mini avelos for all krovim, whether they're there or whether they're not there. So to over here, when they find the body, they have this, and they bury the body, there is this one day avelos. And that's the halacha. Even though, again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to say this way. The Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Yodalid, tries to be miyashev the mechaber, and he tries to paskin like the Mechaber. I don't really understand his yishuv, why it would be worse. He says it's lo gar from likud atzamos, but it is gar from likud atzamos. Even though it says lo gar from likud atzamos, it's worse, but it's not from this and that. The Shmuel said, maybe to be miyashev, that the Mechaber, that this is, likud atzamos is a little more chamor, because there the mace was in a matzav of menucha, because it was buried, and then it was uprooted, so the reburial, I don't know. Anyway, especially because the Makor the whole makor for any of this is Likud HaTzamos. To say we learn it from Likud HaTzamos but only halfway is very hard to understand. It's over here. Sif Yudal. Okay. Fine. Sif Yud Aleph has an interesting question. The Mordechai, quoting the Maran, which is cited in Shulchan Aruch, B'Shem Yesh Omrim, that if a person was mispal arvis mi ba'od yom, and then they heard that a relative of theirs had died and was buried, so then he would begin avelos. That day would not count as an avelos, right? The first day of avelos would be the next day. Why? Because if you were to count it as avelos, it would be like tre kule de sasve adadi, because you'd be, let's say it was a Sunday, so Sunday at 7 o'clock he davened Maariv, and at 7:30 he finds out that he lost a relative. So he's treating it as Monday with respect to Maariv, but he's treating it as Sunday with respect to avelos, and we can't allow for such a stira. Now, it's a very interesting idea, because you might have thought that this is totally not a stira, because when we daven Maariv early, we're not saying it's the next day. You know, there's even Rabbi Yehuda who says you can daven Maariv already from Plaga Mincha. Is Rabbi Yehuda saying that that the next day starts at Plaga Mincha, right? For all areas of halacha, like Chilul Shabbos? No. It's a din in tefillah. So maybe it wouldn't be a trei kule de sasve hadadi. But nevertheless, the Maram felt that it was. Now, then the Shach, Zivkan Yudalit, starts clarifying, what about if the Tzibur daven Maariv, but he didn't daven Maariv? So maybe in that case, he could count, in our example, Sunday, as the first day. It's only if he and the Tzibur davened. And then the, what about Simen Kuf Tzadivat and Hilchos Nida? This is discussed in a different context, about what about if a woman goes ahead and does a hefsek tara after the tzibur daven Maariv, so could she go ahead and do the hefsek tara then, such that the in this example Monday would be counted towards her shiva nikiyim? So the marshal quoted by the shach says, yeah, isha l'rov pamim lomis palelas achar hatzibur, and therefore isha avela would have to be mona l'machar. It's only when I'm motzi myself from the tzibur by not davening, and the shach quotes his father who disagrees, and he says, first of all, avelos we follow the mekel, and avelos is different. Very interesting. Svar comes min hashamayim as opposed to these matters that are tali b'das ha'adam. And then the shach in sifkat tezayin quotes the levush, who says, just like if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida, sounds like push comes to shove. Halach l'mais in Hilchos Nida, we're makel on this. Halach l'mais, obviously a person shouldn't rely on this. L'chatchila, if a woman is making an early Shabbos, so she should do her hefsek tara before Kabbalah Shabbos. In terms of the tzibur, we rarely have this halach anymore anyway, because in most communities, there's multiple, like let's say we live in Washington Heights, not always, maybe in some communities this isn't true, sometimes in like a bungalow colony, so there's only one minyan, you know, everybody makes an early Shabbos, and the whole, there's no other community, the next community is 10 miles away, but for the most part, let's say in Washington Heights, this halacha doesn't apply at all, because there's an early Maariv, and there's a late Maariv, so nobody, you could do whatever you want, no, there's no hechreach on you. But let's say in a case where it is shayach, so a woman should definitely l'chatchila do her hefsek tara before Kabbalah Shabbos. But push comes to shove, we're makel if she didn't. So the levush said, yeah, just like we're makel over there, so too we could be makel over here. And the shach disagrees. He thinks that's totally different, because if you look over, the ikar makor is here, and then some from the Mordechai, and then the Trumas Hadashin and others, clear whether you could extend that to Hilchos Nida, or no, maybe there's a chiluk. So, therefore, the Shach says that while you could be Mekel in Hilchos Nida, in Hilchos Avelos Yuvada, you have to be Machmir. Now, what's the difference? So the Shach here says a very interesting Lamdus. If you also take a look at the Shach over there in Hilchos Nida, some Kuf Tzadivav, Sif Dalid, it seems like over there he's saying the svara is like this. And this might be what he means over here. That l'inyan nida, it doesn't really go by days. You need shivanakim. Shivanakim would be 7 days of 24 hours. But it doesn't matter what day it is. You just need 24 hours. And therefore, even if we say it's technically Lila, and even if we're going to treat it as Lila for Shabbos, for example, because the Tzibor was Mekabel Shabbos and the like, but for Shivanakim, we'll let you get away with it because you still have 7 periods of 24 hours. Masha'en Kain in Hilchos Avelos. Anyway, we don't have time to get into this, but there's a lot of very interesting Lamdisha questions over here in terms of how you see Shiva interacting with the calendar and the extent to which it's superimposed on the calendar and the like. So if we had time, we would do it. We don't have time, but it's a very interesting question to think about what's the logic. The Pesach Tshuva quotes some other interesting practical shalos that come up. L'inyan Yartzeit, he says, you certainly follow the previous day. So again, in our example, even if we're going to write where they started Avelos, again, the Tzibur Daven Maariv, Sunday, 7 o'clock, the person finds out about the Kfura 7:30. So we're going to say his first day of Avelos is Monday. But Yartzeit, you'll definitely follow Sunday. And l'chora the pshat is, because I can make it klapei didi Lila, but objectively speaking, the guy died and was buried on Sunday. The Pesachei Tshuva also quotes the Radvaz, that if you shamash mo krova b'dein hashmashos, you could be mona lahakel miyom she'avar.
Isn't that always true? Yartzeit always follows the day of the death.
Oh, so it's a good question. That's a big machlokas. We'll talk about when we get to Yartzeit. But I think he's saying even if you, even in cases, whether the first year in general, that you follow you wouldn't say that. You would follow, let's say, the Kfura. Here you would go ahead and treat it as a Sunday, not Monday.
Also, are these opinions you quote earlier arguing on the Machaber?
Which opinions?
The
Zecher goes on the opinion. Well, the question is, what's it in by where the Tzibor did it? So that's what. But you didn't. If you did it and the Tzibor didn't, then we know what the Mechaber says. The question is, what would you say in a situation where the Tzibor davened but you didn't daven? So that's what the Shach is
Why
is about.
The Mechaber requires both. I
mean, what?
What if, it sounds like the Mechaber just talked about a case where you're.
What did the Tzibor do in the case of the Shah? In the case, what's right? There was a Tzibor. What did they do? So we have to figure that out. So we know from Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeia in Hilchos Nida that makes a difference. So we need to figure out what to do here. In other words, in terms of Hilchos Nida, the Mechaber tells us exactly what the difference is, whether you were the Tzibor, what happens if you're Motzi Asma and a Tzibor, right? That's explicit in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida. And now the Shah says, well, what about over here? How does it apply over here? Okay. Alright, there's more to say, but we got to start. It's 4 o'clock, so we have to start saying Reish Ayin Vav. So Reish Ayin Vav is Shin Ayin Vav. Yeah. So Shin Ayin Vav, it's not so long in the Shulchan Aruch. In like the Divrei Sofrim, there's like 75 pages. So I'll tell you, we'll just talk about some of the interesting highlights. And some of the more nogei lamaisa things. There's a lot of things that we could say that we're not going to say, but whatever we have time for, in half hour. So first of all, it's very interesting if you look at the Darkei Moshe at the beginning in the name of the Nebuke Yosef, and the Prish expands on this in terms of the message coming from the Ma'amados. As you all saw, there are many ancient practices that were done that we don't continue to do. The halacha is that you follow the minag. So we follow whatever our minhag is, which is quite different than what was done in earlier times. But what's sort of the hashkafa shebo? So the two already mentioned that the Shiva Mamados are connected, the Havalim of Shlomo HaMelech, and the Darkei Moshe quotes in the Nemuki Yosef is saying, Lomar ki achai yitin alibo ki olam b'chol inyanav heima havel. The ashrei misha malo batorah uvemasim tovim. So one of the lessons that we're supposed to take from here is that the valuing of life and helping a person focus in life on what they're supposed to focus on. And likewise, the Prisha quotes the Rashbam that shetzarach kol adam lase salibo shiyasha b'tshuva ki chayah olam hevel v'omdim v'holchem me'at v'chozen v'yoshim me'at kach osim sheva pa'amim kidei lase salibam shechayeh ha'adam hevel. Okay, most of this siman talks about nicham avelim. What is the nature of nicham avelim? So the Rambam in Perek Yudalad of Hilchos Avel writes that it's mitzvah saseh shel devrayhem to do bikur cholim and nicham avelim and otas mesim alike. So it's a mitzvah saseh shel devrayhem. But he also writes it's a kiyum of the din de orais v'haftal eicha kamocha afal pi shekol mitzvah se'elu medevrayhem harein bechlal v'haftal eicha kamocha. Why? Because that means kol hadvarim she'ata rotze she'asu osam l'cha acherim asay o ata osan lachicha b'tor mitzvos. In Halacha Zayin, we quoted this Rambam earlier as well. The Rambam writes, "Yira li shenachama savelim kodem labikur cholim." Why? Shenichum avelim gmilas chesed imachaim v'imamesim. So we see here a very important yisod, which is that nichum avelim is a chesed. That's obvious. We always think of nichum avelim as a chesed and chayim to the chayim to make them to be menachem avelim to help them feel better. They're feeling very sad. But the Rambam says it's also a chesed imamesim. And this is Mivur in Sif Gimel, based off the Gemara Shabbos Kufnun base, that says that even if there are no Avelim l'hisnachem, still by Masar Bnei Adam, the Yoshim b'Mekomo, and the other people come and are menachem them. And what the Gemara tells us is that the neshama gets a nechama, right? As the story over there says, after that whole 7 days of Nicham Avelim without the Avel, so the neshama came and said, thank you for being menachem me. So we see from that Gemara, the Rambam says that it's also chesed im hamesim. Why? So some of the Sfarim say because the neshama is also misavelas al haguf shenifrad miman. It's very painful for the neshama and the guf to separate, especially if when during their lifetime they were very closely connected to each other because a person was involved in olam hazeh, and therefore somehow or another. Obviously, we don't really understand these things, but it's a chesed im hamesim as well. And that might be the reason for the minhag of, there are a number of explanations for this, but one of them is for the minhag of saying in plural, not everybody has this minhag, but hamakom minachem eschem, v'soch shav tzion. What's the eschem? It's only one person. Hamakom minachem oscha, or osach. So the answer is, because, I saw in the Divrei Sofrim, because you're being menachem, like the Rambam says, the chayim and the mesim. The Ramban writes, it's quoted in the Shulta Giborim and Moed Katam Yudches V'Dapi Arif, that just like we saw for Bikur Cholim, that the ikur or central component is tefillah, so too for nichum lemes, it's sheispalul sham shmon esrei b'makom shemes sham, and also generally tefillah. Like the lashon of Hamakom Yinachin, which is a bracha, it's a tefillah as well as our expressing our sympathies.
The Shulta Giborim is talking about dafka the minyan you do there because
yes, the Shulta Giborim is talking about the minyan, and that's why we try to have minyanim again in the base Avel, even across the board. But you see from there also that tefillah is part of the mitzvah.
From the Shulik of Rome, I saw it in Sif Aleph, it's because in a minion, whatever, Badas Kel, right, the Shechina is if there's a minion. So I don't think it's tefillah you're davening for the Nechama.
No, in Echanami, it's having the tefillah there. But you think you could extend that
even
to...
Even when there's no minion?
Once you say tefillah is part of it...
But the Shechina is present when there's a minion, that's the whole...
In Echanami. It's a extension of the Ramban. Quoted by the Shulta Giborim. You're saying it's a different part.
I don't think the Shulta Giborim says when there's no minyan.
No, he's not talking about it. I'm extending it.
Oh, fine, I apologize.
Not me, the Sfarim. Okay. There's a minhag that's cited not to do Nicham Avelim during the first 3 days. So the question is why? So some explain that's because we already saw the Gemara that says Shloshi Yamin Lebechi. So he's not yet ready to be misnachem during the first 3 days. You have to give him a little bit of time, just like to sort of grieve before you try to be menachem. Others pointed out that one, if the person is going to be sitting alone and feel lonely and his friends aren't coming, and that will depress him more. So then, a person should visit. And I think that's one of that's the impression you get from the postgame, that a person should try to figure out what his friend will appreciate. Maybe if it's someone you're closer to go earlier, and if it's someone that you're not as close to go later. I saw that.
What's the source of the minhag for the non-visiting the first 3 days?
I mean, I saw quoted in Sfarim. I don't know where the first source is.
So meaning the Ramban, meaning certainly that Homaracha, you start the Tanchumim, you ask the Chachamim there, please drop the
You see that at the Kfura. They're already, after the Kfura with the Mamados, they're already beginning it. So but that's not those who have this minhag would say that's not the Ikar Nicham Aveilim. That it's true, you know, we give him a bracha of tanchumen at that point. But the ikar, when we say shloshi yamin lebechi, those who have this minhag say the ikar is a little later. There's a whole discussion actually about, you know, when you should say hamakom yinachem in light of that. I saw they say over from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that you stayed in the middle of the visit. Well, you're talking about the mace and the like. When it's at the end, so maybe you could even say that it's like Shela Shalom, you know. Instead of saying goodbye, you say, Amachem Yachem Eschem. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He says, no. You follow the minhag, you say it at the end. And it's not a bracha. He says it's not like the priesthood. It's not the Iker Tanchumen at all. The Iker Tanchumen is the visit. Is the showing him that you're there for him, you're thinking about him. That's why some say that Rav Moshe writes. I think that's why, even though we have a general rule of Ein Avel Rishai, the Menachemim can't say first, cannot begin speaking. That doesn't apply to Amok and Menachem Eschem because it's not the Iker Nechama. That's what Rav Moshe writes.
I don't know.
You shouldn't see it. I think his point was as this like this thing that you say when you leave. The whole visit is about being Menachem, the person. And therefore, but if you just do it at the end, the way we do it, in a sense, it looks a little bit like. So when is the appropriate time to do it? In the middle, correct. On the other hand, I think I heard from Rav Schachter that he said the exact opposite of Rav Moshe. He said the Iker Nechama is. The Iker Nicham is saying Hamakom Menachem Eschem, and he said that's why we're only makbid not to say Hamakom Menachem Eschem kodem the Kvura. A lot of times you'll see at Levayas and the like, so people go and the Avelim are there before they enter the room, and people go and sit down with them and sort of talk to them before the Kvura. So what's going on? You're not supposed to be Menachem a person kodem Kvura. So Schachter said that's because the Iker is you can't say Malkum Nachem Eschem Kodem the Kvura, but to talk to them again, I think he said that's okay. So what about this halach of Ein Ha Menachem and Rishayim Leftoach that the Avil should speak first, not the Menachem? Yeah.
According to Schachter, should you not leave by saying
Malkum? Lad Dafka, you could leave it till the end. I don't know. No, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. I don't know why one would have to be telling the other. So what is the reason why you shouldn't Ein HaMenach Hashem Leftoach? So Levush writes, V'tamid Mistaber Hu, Kolomar Shehu Maschil Laharos Tzaro, Shemistar Me'od Al Meso, V'achar Kach Maschil Lenachamo, Avon Yichodim Ein Shach Lenachamo, D'shama Einu Metzar Al Meso. Very interesting. Maybe he's not feeling bad. In other words, what we say is supposed to be a response to his anguish. That's why Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes that he doesn't have to speak. It's enough for he makes a krechts. So he's shown his tzar, and now the Menachemim can begin. I think a more pashut explanation of why this halacha is because he shows us that he is, you know, ready lekabel tanchumen. Right? We're not here for us, we're here for him. If he doesn't want to talk, so we shouldn't talk. If he wants to sit in silence, maybe, and if he does, he does. But the Aruch HaShulchan gives a different reason. He says that the Indian of Nichma Vilan is Lahatz Digdino Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Nacham Al Mitzvono. So therefore, the Avel has to be Matz Digdino, and he was medayik this from the Ramban, it's quoted by the Tur, that the Avel was Hischil Lomar Baruch Dain HaEmes. That was the beginning of this process. Now, the post can say, one way or the other, that if the Avel does not start speaking because he's in so much pain, or because of the kavod of those who came to visit, they say over from the Chazon Ish, it says in his biography, in the Per Hador, the Chazon Ish would make a shiva call, nobody would say anything. Everybody was scared, they were petrified. So the Chazon Ish would begin, because otherwise everybody was too scared to talk, including the Avel, the whole thing. So, what? I'll tell you, I'll get to that in a second. So that's why many poskim, there's a tshuva that says Eliezer about this, Chelek Yudzimel Yudzayin Simen Memhei, where he says that in that case, the visitors can begin first. Why? If you learn like the Levush, so if it's clear he's mitzta'er and he's not talking because he's embarrassed or he's afraid or he's just so much in pain he can't begin the conversation, he's depressed, so he's not going to start the conversation. So therefore, he's shown he's in tzar, that's good enough. For other poskim say, if he already started talking at the beginning, he poseach doesn't mean in each visit. It means at the beginning of the shiva. Mistam, you're not the first shiva visit. Right? So he was already poseach the last time, or the first time. And if you learn like the Aruch HaShulchan, so the Tzitz Eliezer says, still yitachin shadin azeh urak b'psicha rishona, like we said, shall be as ha-menachem imetzlo. It doesn't apply each time. Anyway, so that's why I said that the Chazon Ish when nobody was saying anything because they were all scared of him, he would begin the conversation. And l'chor, the same thing also. If the Avil doesn't know the halacha, so, you know, he's not saying anything because he's waiting for you. But he wants you to speak. That's, you know, he's happy that you're visiting. So in that case, it makes sense that the visitors should begin first. Anyway, the story goes, Rosh Shachter tells over, that when the Rav was making a shiva call for Rabbi Belkin, who had lost his mother, Rabbi Belkin didn't say anything for a long time. So the Rav didn't say anything for a long time. And then, at the end, he just said, Hamakom Menachem, and he left after, I don't know, half hour, whatever it is. So in that case, I guess the Rav understood the din a little more literally, and he knew that Rabbi Belkin knew the halacha of Ein Poschin. So I think the pshat is very simple. You know, the Rav probably felt that if Rabbi Belkin wanted to talk, I think this is the way Rabbi Shechter says it, so then he would have said something. And if he didn't, so Mestama, didn't want to. I don't know.
Well, then I don't know. Probably Rabbi Belkin wasn't intimidated by the Rav.
Right, that's the point. I'm saying I don't know, because we can't, I wasn't there. You can't.
Why did he say Hamakom then?
So that goes back to how you understand the din of Hamakom. If you understand that Hamakom, right, is being Menachem, then maybe you shouldn't even say anything.
So, even if it's being Menachem him, it's not a nikum that would disturb him as you're leaving. You know, you're not interfering with this quiet space.
Yeah, maybe that's the pshat. They say over from the Brisker Rav that you could be Mekayem the mitzvah with a letter. That was before the days of the... I think they say from Reb Chaim, sorry. Brisker Rav also, Reb Chaim. especially this is relevant before the days of telephones, but where you couldn't go in person. And the truth is, even though I remember when Rav Tursky was sitting Shiva for his brother, so it wasn't really shaykh to make a Shiva call. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was told that calling wasn't shaykh either. So so what do you do? So I don't know. I wrote a letter. I thought that's the... Also, you could sort of sometimes, I think, express certain things in a letter that one might have a hard time expressing in person. And there's, even though nobody writes letters anymore, it does... What?
Email.
Yeah, you could email also, but I think letters even more. The poskim talk about telephones. So Rav Shechter writes in Mepnine HaRav that it's not derech eretz to make a telephone call. Why? Because you're making the avel get up for you, right? Avel mesiv barosh. You're saying, come to the phone. I'm so important. Maybe you could say it's not as important, not as shaykh nowadays. Everybody has a cell phone or a cordless phone. You know, you're not making him get up to the phone. And if he doesn't want to take your call, he doesn't have to. So maybe that kapeda doesn't apply nowadays. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that it's only half the mitzvah. Maybe you're mekayim the mitzvah mitzad the avel, but you're definitely not mekayim the mitzvah mitzad the nesham of the mace, which is accomplished when you come to the makom hamisa or the makom hamisnachamim sham. And I think the post can say that it's pashut that if you can come live, then you should, and that's better. And in fact, if you could come and you don't come, that's almost like a chutzpah. But for someone who can't come because it's too far away or they're not well or whatever it is, so that's certainly better than nothing. I saw another tremendous vart in over there, Pnei HaRav, from the Rav. He said, why is it that we use this lashon of hamakom? Hamakom yinachem eschem b'soch shavtzen. So where do we usually refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as hamakom? So you had a couple of shatim, but the one that really struck me is the Rav said that hamakom is said when we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. He says, look at the times when we say it. We say it at the beginning of the tefillah of Yom Kippur, Aldas HaMakom, Aldas HaKal. That's a time that we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence particularly powerfully, right? We know that Yom Kippur is a time of tremendous closeness. You say it at the Leil HaSeder, which is also, right, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Tor L'Amo Yisrael. And then you say it at a Beis Avel, because when a person experiences tragedies, so that's a time where they can feel unusual closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe also, the Rav didn't say it, but that's why we say it in Achenu, which is a tefillah that we say, Beis Sarah HaMakom Yirachem Aleihem Yotzeim Yitzar Levacha, that at a time of an Eis Tzara, it's a time of particular closeness to, or an opportunity for particular closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharil, I guess we don't have time to talk about it, but talks about why we're mitzdarif to Aveli Tzion Yerushalayim here. It's a little reminiscent, though, to some degree, of what we do when we do Bikur Cholim, when we also say B'Soch Shar Chol Yisrael. The halacha is that the Avelim don't have to get up if a gadol walks in. It's mashma from the Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter, they're just not chayev. That's what some of the poskim say. Why not? Why should they stand up? After all, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Mipnei Seiva Takum V'Adarta Pnei Zaken. So there are a number of reasons, even the Achronim, they're Trudim Batsara. So that's why they can't get up. Some say it's not a kima shel hider, sharei me'ol ba'afek, right? The halacha is, if you're in a beis hamerchatz or beis hakisa, you don't stand up for one's rebbe. This too. Other achronim say, mestama, there's mechila. Others achronim say, no, it's because they're mashve avel to a melech, avel mesiv varosh, and therefore it's inappropriate. One of the nafkaminas is that on Shabbos and Yantif, maybe many of these reasons don't apply, like trudim batzara, it's not the kima shel hider. So I think some of the achronim say taka on Shabbos and Yantif, you should stand up. That's what the Badi Shulchan writes.
Meaning this would be if you're available to start before the regularly, you'd be noting tomorrow's
Shabbos? No, just a regular Shabbos. Day four of your Avelos is Shabbos.
No, what I'm saying on a regular, like you wouldn't have Avelos somewhere.
Same thing with applying a regular, we'll talk about it, but the halacha is that even if a person dies on Yom Tov, so even though you don't start the Shiva till afterwards, people come to be menachem you.
Right.
So then you would stand, according to the Bnei Shulchan. The Darkei Moshe, it's quoted in the Raman Shulchan Aruch also, Ozbav, quotes the Gemara Bava Kama, that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shachiv Le Barte, Amru Le Rabbanan Lula Nezel Mar Nechamte, Amru Lehu, Mai Nezel Gabe Nechamta De Bavloi, De Gidufahu, De Amre Mai Afsher Lech Lenevad Afsher Abdinan. This is obviously a very subtle point. It's not Mamish Chas V'Shalom who's calling him a apikoris, but the point is, and you see this a lot of times in the Beis Avos, what's this Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us that as long as there's some ishtadlus to do, as long as a person is alive, let's say, a person loses their parents before they died, they're very sick. And obviously at that point you have to do all the ishtadlus you possibly can. You have to find the best doctors and the like. But after whatever happened, so our attitude changes entirely. Our attitude changes and we say, this is Ratzon Hashem. So there's a very big difference between prospectively and retrospectively. Before it happens, it's our achrayus to do ishtadlus. And you see this a lot of times when you visit Avelim. It's sad. Sometimes you go visit them and they say, we made such a big mistake. You know, we did chemo and we should have done surgery. We did surgery and we should have done chemo. We did this treatment. So what this Gemara is saying is that's not the attitude. When the person's still alive, you do your best, you do whatever you can to help them. But after they pass away, so then one's attitude is the opposite. The person died because it's Ratzon Hashem. And nothing I could have done would have changed anything. I could have done it differently, I could have done this way or that way, this way, the other way, it doesn't matter. They died because Hashem wanted them to die. The second thing that the Darkei Moshe quotes is, Al Yomar Adam Lo Nifrati Kafi Masai. A person shouldn't say, I deserved worse, right? Why? Al yiftach piv l'satan, based off of Gemara in Mishamesu Daf Yotas. So it's a very interesting point, right? In other words, a person shouldn't say, really, I deserve much worse than this. Why? Because I think a lot of people actually feel this way, right? Oftentimes, a person feels, might feel, Baruch Hashem, I have so much goodness in my life. And the chesed of Hashem is much more than I deserve. So when you read the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like that's a totally inappropriate thing to say. So is that true? So I found a makor that maybe it's not so pashut that it's always wrong to say it. Where? From Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, "Katonti mikol chasadim mikol haemes." So what does that mean? So Rashi says, "Nismatu zichyosai al yidei chasadim shasisei mi." So the Ramban says that's wrong. First of all, it's not true. Yaakov Avinu just mentioned the haftachos that Hashem had promised to save him. So what does it mean? Aval katonti lomar ki katon hu meheyoso ra'ui l'chol ha-chasadim sha'asa imo. Yaakov Avinu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, katonti m'chol ha-chasadim m'chol ha-mes, ki b'makli avarti es ha-yardein hazeh, v'achshav ha-yisi l'shtei machanos. Hashem, I am unworthy of all the goodness that you've given me, because look at the tremendous chasadim that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given to me, and I'm not worthy of that. Now, seemingly, that's the that is against what the Rama over here says you should do. Perhaps there's a difference between saying that I've been given more than I deserve as an expression of Hakara Satov and saying I deserve more punishment than I have been given, which is an invitation to the Satan. Alternatively, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's dafk over here where we're so makbid, because since it's hadin mesucha kenegdo, it's a time of din, right? That's why we don't even say tachnun in the Beis Avel, and we don't say tiskabel tzalosan. person feels cherev munach. So at a time like this, then we're more concerned about al yiftach piv lasatan. The Birkei Yosef talks about it. He has some different shailas. He gives a slightly different approach. He says that he asks another kasha from the Gemara in the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim that says lo chachata enu asa lanu v'lo kavano senu gamal alenu. So some say Rav and Shani. There are different answers. Anyway, it's an interesting discussion. The gader of that. Halal in the base Avel. So take a look at the Pesach Tshuva of Kan Aleph, who discusses it. The Note of Yehuda writes that, which is the common practice, that it's okay to go out for the Avel to leave the room at the time of Halal. The Pesachei Tshuvos quotes that that's totally not right. It's a bizayon to the Avel Menachem Yosef Berosh, and you're saying, if you could please excuse yourself, we need to say Halal. And moreover, others, the Aruch HaShulchan over here, the Mishnah Berurah and Simen Kuf on the base, sounds like it's not appropriate in the base Avel to say Halal. The minhag is in many places that the Avel does leave the room and they say Halal, perhaps because they understand that the Iker Taina is a din of loig l'rush when we say Lo Hamesa Mihalaluka. Of course, just because the Avel leaves, I don't know if the Mase leaves, whatever that means exactly. But it's a Tircha D'Tzibura to make the Mispalalim go back to Shul and say Halal or say it later or the like. So I think one follows the minhag ha'olam
to say it in the house.
If that's the minhag, then I think it's okay.
We saw the halacha even say halal.
That's definitely not the minhag. We the halacha is that the halal davar doesn't halal for one of two reasons: either because it's not a time of joy for him, it's quite the opposite, it's inappropriate. Again, usually we're only talking about halal of a minhag, right? Because we're talking about Rosh Chodesh. We're not talking about halal Medina, because if it's halal Medina, then it's part of Hanukkah, might be a little different. Anyway, fine. We do it.
You wasn't sure you'd say halal because of the viewers.
That's a different issue. There's nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Right. But obviously there, you can see how with the bracha people notice
something
sooner,
right? So. If it's yantif, so anyway, avelos yantif is mevat only avelos.
It's
not a shiloh. Right. So there's no nihuvei. Oh, you're saying in that case? Yeah. I think he would.
So I'm saying it's not explicitly like us.
Correct. Yeah, but
it's so rude to ask the Avel to leave, though. At lo yitachin.
Okay, good. There are many achmanim on your side. There are a couple more things that we need to do. Maybe we'll do them very quickly tomorrow at the beginning, mostly on Kaddish, Inyanei Kaddish, the point of Kaddish, women saying Kaddish, things like that. So we'll start with that tomorrow, but we're going to go weiter mostly tomorrow. So we'll just finish up a couple of odds and ends at the beginning tomorrow. Bezos Hashem. Okay, stop here.
I heard a very short about a Malkamina thing.
Yeah.